Yes, this is Sarah Alvarado.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Zava. It's just us right now.
Okay.
Hello, this is Andrew.
Good evening, Andrew. This is Ava, and Sarah is on the phone also.
Very good.
Okay. I set it up this time to beep with bells when somebody comes in, but not when they leave. So hopefully there won't be that many disruptions as you get going, Sarah.
Okay, no problem.
But if you hear some bells, don't worry about it. Andrew, are you currently unemployed, or are you just fishing out
yes.
there?
Yes.
Have you heard any news, anything on the update on the unemployment status, the voting?
You mean in the Senate?
Yeah.
Just that they were going to have to vote on it again. They'll probably make some additional adjustments before they vote again.
Yeah. Okay, we have a few people who've joined us, I guess. We'll give maybe another 2 or 3 minutes for some more people to join us, and then we'll get going.
Who just joined?
Nicole Burkow.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi. Kathy Kara.
Hi, Kathy. I'm Sarah Alvarado.
Okay. Are you both unemployed?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was for Kathy. I don't know about the other lady.
What did you say?
Are you unemployed?
On my way to being.
Okay. Well, Andrew and all of you, just to get a feel while there's a few on the phone, is what type of employment are you looking for?
This is Andrew, my case, program management.
In what area?
I've spent the last 10 years supporting the development of new services for the in the storage.
Okay.
Storage business companies like I work for HP, but companies like EMC and.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Kathy. What about you?
I'm looking for a position in product marketing or product management, and I was also in storage.
Okay. And Nicole.
Something in business operations.
Okay. So let's talk about business operations. Well, can you get a little bit more, give me a little bit more detail?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. But actually what I do, I run a small business right now.
Okay.
I do all the contracts and the financials and communication.
Okay. Hey, I just want to get a feel. The contracts, financials, and communication is is more than one job, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. If you hear dogs barking in the background, I apologize.
My dog just lies down and sleeps.
Yeah, but I adopted a Chihuahua about 8 months ago, and. Yeah, he was used for mating twice, and he was abused, and because the woman had 5 kids under 10 years old, and they didn't touch the female, but in the puppies, but they went after him, so he became totally afraid of people and so forth. And then I heard she couldn't sell him because he's registered, and I can understand that. So she was going to have him put down, but I stepped in and said I wanted him because I have a Katrina survivor. And she's 5 years old, and she's part Labrador Retriever and Rottweiler, and she's the most lovable dog you ever want to meet. And what she's done in the last 8 months, she's turned around and nurtured him and so forth, and now he thinks he's in charge of the house.
Well, mine knows she runs the house.
Yeah, I know. Monique, that's Katrina Survivor. She just always watches over him and so forth. But Romeo still doesn't know his size. He's 5 years old, and so, you know, if I give Monique a bone, and it's, you know, a large rawhide, he will not touch a small bone. He has to have the same size, or he takes it from her, and she lets him do it. So it's funny to watch him trying to put his mouth over, you know, a nice big rawhide bone.
Let's see, has anyone else joined the call in the last couple minutes?
How many people do we have on the call, Ava?
So far, it sounds like five of us. And I'm expecting several more, but I don't want to wait to start. They can come join us later if they do, and if not, there's the recording.
There you go. Yeah, and I'd like this to be an interactive session, so I want you to feel free to step in at any time, you know, in the middle of talking about something, because we gain more from each other than we do just from, you know, something that's just written down.
Okay, now let me just check. Andrew, Nicole, and Kathy, do you all have the slide set that we set out for to follow along with what Sarah's going to talk about today?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay. Sarah, do you want to, you know, give a very short introduction of your background that might help our members, you know, better utilize you?
Yes, that's no problem at all. I've been a recruiter for over 24 years, and it all started at Digital Equipment Corporation. And when DEC was in the process of closing down, they had sent me from Massachusetts to California to ramp up their Alpha chip, which was the competitor of the Pentium 2 with Intel Corporation. And so when the whispers were really going big, I was recruited from Intel. From Digital to Intel, and I spent almost 14 years with Intel. And because they changed the human resource department, there, you know, there was a reorg, and it was during a time when no one had any positions, you know, our customers, they targeted the HR department, where they downsized approximately 35% of the recruiters. And I was one of them that was effective. So I did a stint also when I left there. I did a stint with a friend of mine just trying to feel what agency was like. And who just joined?
This is Diane Herodian.
Hi, Diane. Welcome.
Hi.
I'm in Denver, Colorado, and I'm in the process of starting the presentation.
Okay, great.
So, and I'm giving a little bio of myself. So then I worked with, I left her there because, see, I couldn't collect unemployment due to the fact that I had a severance package from, you know, each of the places. And I helped a friend of mine who was running basically an agency, and until I could find a full-time job, which I did, and it was in healthcare, and I went into healthcare to get a feel for what that was all about. And I was recruiting all the different business units, and the same thing with Intel and that of Digital, you know, start up some of the business units and so forth, to the point where, okay, the position basically was not as advertised and went over to Orbital Sciences, which was aerospace. So I did that for a while, and again, because it's under federal regulations, they really didn't want creative thinkers. They wanted to stick by the book, and they allowed the agencies to work closely with the managers without my knowing, and I yet would produce the same type of people. So the hardest interview, I would say, is when you meet with the recruiter to recruiter, because I call it school matches wits. But because I'm unemployed, it doesn't mean that I cannot help you, because I know where a lot of the resources are and a lot of the trends. And since we do have minimal people on the phone, I feel that this is a great opportunity that we can have an active discussion. So right now, is there any questions or anything that you feel that's not on this presentation that you'd like me to bring up as well? Does anybody have anything other than what I have on the presentation?
No.
Okay, I guess no news is good news. So let me just begin. My focus today is to talking about where are the jobs. It's so much easier for someone other than a recruiter to find a job nowadays. Let me ask just a couple of questions. Andrew, how long have you been looking for a position?
About 11 months.
About 11 months? Okay. And Kathy, how long have you been looking for a position?
About 3 months.
About 3 months. Nicole?
I haven't been looking.
Okay.
The business I'm in is our funding sources have dried up, and so I'm just starting to try and figure out what I want to do next.
Okay. And the other person, I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Diana, 8 months.
8 months. Okay. And I'm sure that you found it, all of you have found it a bit frustrating, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay. Well, I've been looking for, let's see, close to almost 2 years now to find that right job. Then, and let me explain. The reason for my being is because, number one, I don't want a sales job, you know, trying to recruit customers. And number two, I don't want a commission-only job. I want a job that's very challenging and know that I've got a home, and I think all of us want to look at it that way as well. There is a definite problem as far as rising unemployment. Today, there's over like 400,000 people, if not more, out of work. And this is because of what the economy, what's happening within the economy. A lot has to do with, for example, you can take like Toyota. Because they had a glitch in their system, and they've been recalling and recalling, they've been finding that they've had to lay people off because it hasn't been helpful to the company. They're losing money. And because you have that domino effect, it's hitting that of all the workers. So they've been laying the workers off as well. Places like in manufacturing, you have a lot of arenas that are opening up right now in regard to new products that may be coming through and designs where they would be looking for people. So I want to go in a little bit more depth around what that all means to all of you. And again, I want to reiterate the fact, feel free to interrupt me at any time. Now, there's also been a lot of lack of new job creation. And that means the fact that because the way the economy is, a lot of the companies in general do not want to take that risk and lose money of creating new jobs only for those jobs to fall through. For example, as you can see in 2009, a job opening fell 900,000 per month from 3.3 million to 2.4 million people. So that was a difference between 400,000 a month that showed that while fewer people were losing jobs, there were even fewer opportunities to even find a new one. And what this means is the fact that we as people looking for jobs, we need to be on top of what the trends are, what's really going on. It's not for the sake of, okay, I'm going to go look up this website to see if I can find a job. The piece of it is to understand what type of companies are losing money. And those are the companies I would suggest at this point is to stay away from. Because what you're dealing with is a lot of people having seniority. I mean, a lot of you know by working with Digital Equipment Corporation what was happening in there. I mean, people were grasping to hold on to their jobs. So anybody knew it was very few and very minimal type of jobs to hire, you know, folks for through my experience at that particular time. Now, before I go into the overview as far as how the jobs, you know, are posted, when they're posted, and what does that mean, and I can give you some sheets that are not on here, I'd like to get into a little bit about what does it mean when they post a job. Now, there are several ways that you can look at this, and this is the insight. As a recruiter, that I wanted to give you this information. It says here, job openings are submitted by establishments on the last business day of the month and require a specific position to be available where work could start by within the next 30 days. It could also include full, part-time, and seasonal work. And the piece around this, and I just have a hard problem with this, is just to let you know, when there's a need for a job, they open it right away. So it's not actuality the last business day of the month. A lot has to do with pre-planning of what are we going to do, what kind of products are going to be coming down, how are we going to prepare for the marketing and sales of this particular product. But managers are required each quarter to forecast what their staffing needs are going to be. And in some cases, they could be hiring month by month, but usually what the case is, if they need someone in 2 months, the recruiters usually start recruiting that first day of those, that 2 months, when the, as soon as the requisition hits the recruiter's desk. And if a recruiter is working very closely with a hiring manager, the recruiter is also then building pipelines. So you don't necessarily have to wait until you see a company is, you know, maybe going to be opening up in the area and things like that. What you want to be able to do is to get your resume into that website. Because already that means by putting your resume into that website, that means you're helping the recruiter build a pipeline with your set of skills and being knowledgeable about the company and making sure that your resume may have some of the key words that the company utilizes, such as if they have a given product name, maybe. And I'll use digital as an example because, you know, some of us, you know, we're all gone from digital, but I can only relate to that since we have this forum around digital equipment, you know, going on now. So, I mean, if they're looking for someone that is a manager of engineering and say you have skills in engineering, well, the question is, what skill is it that you may be looking at that you feel that you could be a possible fit? The one thing that applicants have a problem with when they are looking for a job, and this is very, very key, given the fact that the majority of people who had worked for Digital Equipment Corporation have a lot of years behind them, and sometimes people are intimidated by, this person may have more experience than myself, you know, within the hiring team. Now, what recruiters are working on with hiring managers is the fact that they're trying to convince hiring managers to look at for people with at least 80% of the skill set, and the rest could be trainable within 6 months to 7 months. Because of the fact, and the way I counsel hiring managers, the fact is you're going to be bored when you walk on the in the door, because what you're going to be doing is giving everything you have based on your knowledge, but you're not getting anything in return because you know everything. So we're trying to change the way of thinking to hiring managers in that respect. Now, if you're interested in staying where you are all of you on the phone from Massachusetts?
Yes.
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 Everybody on the phone is from Massachusetts?
I'm in Colorado.
Okay, you're in Colorado. I'm in Arizona. Okay, so the bottom line is some of your remote sites like Arizona in Colorado, sometimes it can be a little more difficult because you're living in a remote environment that's farther away than the big cities such as the Silicon Valley in California, or that in the pubs of that of Boston, Mass, or New Hampshire, or any of the other New England states. New York, too. It's a question of one thing I know about New Englanders, having been one myself, is we're very, very deep-rooted. In other words, we don't want to leave our families, and we don't want to pick up and just leave to another place we've never been before. Am I talking rightly so? Andrew?
Yes.
Okay. So one of the things that you may be able to do, given the fact that, and again, a lot of stuff is going to be key when you're looking for a job in the cover letter. In other words, other than saying how, here, I bring this to the table, that to the table, you may want to write down something around the fact that if I could work out of Boston or if I could work out of Colorado, here's what I could bring to the table for you, and be able to travel maybe 2 weeks or maybe a week, a month, to be able to support the needs to visit the customers and so forth. Because it doesn't hurt, because some of the things that you can find out from the hiring managers that you're bringing so much to the table, you have a lot of knowledge, that it's just a matter of being able to convince that manager of the fact that how you can help them, and maybe by even doing the job of two people, which they didn't expect. So you want to be able to give the hiring managers, especially who are in other sites other than where you are, some things to think about of what attributes that you can bring to the table, even though you're not there. You're not in that particular city or state and so forth. Am I making some sense?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions at this point? Okay, now we're all hearing news about who's being hit hard. We're hearing news about companies downsizing or companies now going bankrupt and so forth. Now, the piece of that is the best thing that you can do is to begin to really utilize your networks. And utilizing your networks, you're going to be able to find jobs. Now, I personally think that the best networks are the alumni networks. Because so many people, if some of you belong to the Digital Equipment Network, you know we had over 500,000 people. It was approximately 500,000 people that worked for digital because they were across the world. That some of these folks maybe working in other places that, you know, all you have to do is use the word digital, even if you don't know the person, and I'd say about 85% of the time there's that total connection. Have you found, any of you found that to be at any particular time?
Yeah, I think that's
yeah. True. So I would strongly suggest that you start utilizing those different approaches, because what you want to be able to do is you want to be able to stop and think, say, what can I do than the first 25 people that applied for the job that makes me any different? And that's including what may be on your cover letter or within your resume. A lot of companies, what they look for right now is people that have the strategic focus. It doesn't make any difference what company it is. What is it that you can bring to the table that's going to help me not only here but in the future? And be excited about that. Does that make some sense to folks?
Makes sense.
Okay, because
yeah.
I just want to make sure around that. Now, just giving you an example, which I know about, there's four chain stores that have earned outstanding scores for merchandise, and you may be surprised to know that Costco stands out in front of all of them. You know, they do have product manager jobs, they have operation jobs and things like that. They actually step ahead. They are ahead over Sears, they're not over Sears, I'm sorry, just forget about that, but Costco is one of them, also Macy's, and that of Sears, because in Sears, for example, it's the hardware side of the house. If it's in Macy's, it's dealing with the retail environment. Or whether it's with Costco, we're dealing with home decor, kitchenettes, electrical entertainment, and so forth. But behind every one of these particular chains, and you may say to yourself, well, you know, I've done all this in my life. What do I want to go work for a Macy's for? Or what do I want to go work for a Sears? Well, behind every one of these companies, you have sales, you have marketing, you have operations in there. And all you're doing, instead of thinking negatively around that, what you're doing is saying, well, maybe this different type of an environment may only enhance my skill sets, but yet I'd have the opportunity for doing what I enjoy doing. And the good news is, whereas in most companies we work for, we'll be able to get a discount on some of these items. You know?
This is Diana. One of the things I have found, though, is when you try that approach, they're looking for some very specific experience in retail, for instance, in order to consider the resume. So how do you get around that?
Well, give me an example.
Shape of marketing manager, okay?
Uh-huh.
You know, in the job description, you must have at least, you know, 5 to 7 years experience in marketing, specifically in a retail environment.
Okay. So let me push back a little bit. So if you were to see that particular position, and given the fact you have this extra knowledge, how would you turn around and rewrite your resume?
Well,
write in your cover letter, having had the experience.
Well, having not had the experience, you can't say you've been in retail, but you can talk about the strengths you have in marketing that would apply to a specific position that you're going for. You can't say, well, I have 5 years experience in retail. You can say I have, you know, 5 years experience in this specific area of expertise. But, you know, I'm not sure. How would you do that?
one of the things to take a look at, when you first started out, say with Digital Equipment Corporation, you knew that you wanted a marketing job or you wanted a sales job, and the question you ask yourself, okay, you may have just got out of school, and you ask yourself the question, well, I had taken all these courses, now how am I going to apply it in a real environment? And the bottom line is talking, I would suggest when you are speaking to, say, a hiring manager or putting it in a cover letter, is the fact is what you're bringing is the skill sets to the job. It doesn't make any difference where the environment is. As a retailer, you've done shopping in some of these stores, so you understand the marketing around that, how they market their items and things like that. All you need to do is push back and say the only thing that you need to know is their processes. Because every job that you may apply for has a process, you know, within that department. And given the fact that you already do have experience in processes, you do have experience in marketing, you do have experience in sales, what is the one thing, if they can give you an example of what is it they mean by having experience in retail? I mean, how does anybody get into any type of an environment to work? It's through basically negotiating and what you're writing in that cover letter, saying, like, for example, you know, you're looking at a retail environment and say, although I may not have worked in the retail environment, I understand it fully given the fact that some of my experiences included that were similar to retail, these different types of arenas. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I know where you're going with that. I just noticed that they're getting more and more specific with the, you know, must-have or don't-bother-to-apply kinds of language.
Yeah, but the thing of it is don't use that as a turn-off, because one of the things I would do is, especially that cover letter, because the cover letter has become really the key, because the resume only describes what you've done in your life that may not show the retail, but that cover letter will show you what you've done in your life that can relate to that of retail, and being able to put in context of, you know, although retail is a different word, the utilization of what I've done as far as selling products is retail, or doing marketing is retail. Because it is.
So in that example, would you use a functional resume that highlights the skill areas that they're looking for rather than chronological? Because your experience that relates could be buried right way back in your digital years. You know,
right.
And the common knowledge is they're only looking at the most recent 10 years of experience.
What you can do is do a test run. Create a resume, you know, go in and I'll show you some of the top job boards. Look for some of the jobs that may be in the arena of retail and sales. Take a look at the verbiage that they may be utilizing. And then what I do is it's not always good just to have one resume. It's good to have a couple resumes and that can transform, that's geared to one specific sector to that of another sector. Because two things you're dealing with, you have to get through is, number one, the recruiter, because that's the person that is right in there. And number two, the piece is you got to pass the hiring manager also. And my strong suggestion is perhaps to tailor make a generic resume that ties in. And the way I would suggest that, there's another way of doing that. It's a resume, you put your name in the middle, you know, your address, you know, your contact information. And then instead of going right into the resume, what you do is you create five bullets on one side and five bullets in the middle. And what you're going to put in those five bullets is the skill sets that you have that may pertain to that of retail. You see what I'm saying that you could utilize in retail?
Mm-hmm.
You still with me? Are you all with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next thing you want to do is to have maybe six or seven bullets below that, you know, double space, and show all the accomplishments that you've done or been able to do that ties in with each of those skill sets that may show similar to that of retail. Because all you're doing is using different words.
Okay.
So, for example, if you want to say sales is one of your strongest skill sets, you may want to turn around and say being able to sell a product, using the generic words instead of saying retail goods, but say being able to sell a product to a company that wasn't expecting that this product could be of good use. And that would also show that in the skill set. So if you are called upon, or when you do write the cover letter, it's basically saying it's called transferable skills. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then below that, a couple spaces, then you want to put in your resume of what you've done so people can see. In other words, it's the flow of the eye. You start with here's my objective, to be able to work in a challenging environment, which I can utilize my skills to bring that to the table of retail or operations or whatever. And then, excuse me, and then what you do is you're going to have, you can do four bullets, at least eight, four bullets on one side, four bullets in the middle, and write down those skill sets. So you'd want to put marketing, sales, operations, and show that what you've taken from your background, you're able to utilize that in a retail environment, but not having used the word retail, use the word product, because that's what they use. Everything is a product nowadays. Does that help you?
Yeah, I think that's an approach for tying back specific skills that might be appealing. But, you know, the other feedback you get is that you have about, you know, it's the, like the elevator speech. Huh? You've got about, you know, a minute to really make them want to read on and, you know, make it compelling.
Oh, sell your soul in 3 minutes. The recruiter's term is sell me your soul in 3 minutes. Prove to me why I want you. Well, what you're doing, especially in this type of format, is the eye is scanning down. Because recruiters are trained, I can tell you one thing, recruiters are nervous readers because of the fact they've read so many resumes. So they're able to scan and look at a resume within, say, a minute, less than a minute, minute and a half. But what you want to do is, in certain areas, is to make those areas in bold letters. It's what the eye sees, and how can
sure.
you attract the eye? Huh?
Sure.
Does that make sense to you?
Yep.
And I'm going to show you another approach as I get through this other presentation, how you can tie what you have to what you're going to do next. And to all you others on the phone, do you have any other questions? Can you relate to this? Can you see how we can make a difference?
Do you have an example of it? The style of resume you're talking about?
I could put one together, and Ava, I can have you send it out to the players.
That's fine. We'll
okay.
do that.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. All you have to do is remember one thing. I'm going to put this word as one of my top skills, networking. Okay? The next piece is going to be my accomplishment in networking. I was able to hire 300 people because of the resources I have available to me. And then you see it on the resume how I've used networking in the recruiting environment. But the key of it is the company that may not be looking for a recruiter, but they're looking for someone that has a lot of resources that they could utilize, such as sales and such as product development, that they can tap onto other people. So you see how that word networking can show that, again, managers don't want to bring in the same type of people. They want to have a diverse workforce. And it's not just ethnicity. What it is basically, what is it that I can get from this person that's going to bring some change or some different ways of thinking to the floor? And that's another key thing, is different ways of thinking. And that's, you know, you may want to put also in a cover. And again, the cover letter needs to match that resume. And in the cover letter, stating the fact that, for example, I've been able to utilize my networks in order to get a lot of the requests that are needed to get the job done. Also, I found the fact that I can even go even more so with my networks in being able to be a resource in other areas. So what you're doing is taking that skill set and showing not only can you do it for the job, but you can also do it in different areas. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, if you don't, just let me know, because we can explain that. Okay? Another key word is what they look for, say, in retail, or they look for in other types of positions is customer service. Because a lot of people, especially there's this big negative about recruiters, because one thing about recruiters, you don't follow up on telephone calls, you don't do this and so forth. But one of the things I found while interviewing for jobs, they asked me, how do I What do you, you know, customer service is a buzzword, so can you tell me how you utilize your customer service to get things done? And you and I, and all of us on the phone, know that. And the bottom line sometimes I say is I'd want to be treated like how somebody, I'd want to be treated like someone who would, you know, I would treat. I want to have that same treatment. I believe in, you can't say I enjoy working with people because that's just a buzzword. What you want to be, want be able to do is I want to be a, I enjoy working with people because people have so many different interests and ways of doing things that I'm very open to learning from this and how I can also make a difference. That's the key, is how can you make a difference? And that's the key that you want to be able to show the hiring manager as well as making sure that it's on the cover letter. I'm not making any sense or anything, please. Because not everybody all hears the same thing.
All right. Okay. Let's see. I just want to give you a time check. We've got about 30 more minutes, 30 to 40 more minutes on the call.
Okay. So I'm going to be able to manage it. Other areas too is like a lot of people when they're looking at retail or say different types of environments, they're looking at basically what's on the base, what's in the basement. What you want to look at is what is the makings of making it happen. So like if you go off into a Sam's Club or a Walmart or a Kmart or any of those stores, behind that they have a corporate headquarters where things are totally different. And one of my strongest suggestions is what you want to do is you want to be able to say, for example, go on Google and you want to be able to put down companies with sales or companies with marketing. Just do a Google and see that list that may come down. Then what you want to do is you want to be able to go into their websites. Start taking a look at what the company is all about and then go over to the career site and see what the jobs are all about. And how does that relate to you? Because for some reason you're all on the phone, got into Digital Equipment Corporation. You never thought you were going to get into Digital Equipment Corporation, but before Digital Equipment, if you were working, it must have been a totally different change. And if it wasn't a change, but it would have definitely been a different culture, and it would definitely have been a different environment. So either or, the piece of it is how the letter that, because you're not seeing a person up front, is the letter that you write and the resume that you bring to the table is how can you make it look that they're interested in you versus the last 25 resumes they've already seen. Okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I wouldn't get caught up on all these jobs and, you know, there's no jobs out there. There's different jobs. It's just the fact that people don't want to make a change. Okay? And say, for example, myself, I mean, I've been recruiting and the problem I have is I've got too much experience and they see that. And sometimes what they want to do because of money, they want to hire a junior recruiter. So what does that put me? So what I have to think about is my transferable skills. You know, I was a trainer before. I could bring that to the table, but do I want to be a teacher? I don't think so. So, I mean, you know, you got to sit and really take a look at yourself. What are you willing to give and what are you not willing to give? So going on to
that, Susan,
huh?
Just a quick question on that. So
yeah.
Given that you know that they could hire a younger person at a much lesser salary level,
mm-hmm.
but that you bring more to the table, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, what is the value of that much more? Do you consider downgrading your salary expectations as well or stick with what you think you're worth?
Well, let's stop and think about that for a minute. Number one, what I strongly suggest is the resume I just talked about, take off, you only should be able to be giving 10 years of what you've done so far. You know, and I find that in my case, as much as I don't want to let go of a digital equipment experience, in some cases I have to.
Mm-hmm.
Given the fact, the arena, given the fact what they're really looking for, given the fact that you don't want to intimidate them, the other piece is you can't call them on age, you know, and a lot of us know that could be an underlying situation. But what you want to do is modify your resume in a way that it's light, and what you want to do is show what type of experience, but make that light in a way that it's something that they could utilize in a way that they could take and run and support the business with that experience.
So you leave your digital years off because it takes you back too far?
Yeah, I would suggest, but I would put it in the cover letter. Instead of saying work for Digital Equipment Corporation for many years, say in my previous jobs over 10 years, I have worked for companies like Digital Equipment Corporation where I was very successful in the marketing arena or the product arena. Remember one thing on a resume, you don't want to tell them your whole life. What you want to do is like going fishing. You want to bait them. Give them so much so that you bait them that they want to understand more.
But I'll give you a specific example in speaking to a recruiter who had mm-hmm. received a resume that had all the experience but didn't detail the amount of years, for instance, at Digital. That was one of the first questions. Well, I see that, you know, what this job is relates to the experience you had at Digital. How long were you there? And so really they were kind of backtracking to the how old are you question.
Yeah, and what I would come back and say if they said, well, how long were you there, and just ask the question, can you help me to understand why that's important?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you help me to understand for what reason it's important to know how long I was there? You can ask that question. Because what you're doing is lightly pushing back.
So are you not providing the dates of hire and you know, moving on?
Yes, you are providing the dates of hire, but you can go back. If you want to go back 15 years, fine, but you don't have to go all the way back to Digital Equipment Corporation. What you can do is highlight that in the cover letter.
Okay.
You know, make a short statement saying that I also have I've had the opportunity to work at Digital Equipment Corporation, but since when it's been closed down, I've been doing this. However, at the company, my focus was on sales and marketing without even mentioning the word what department, because what you want to do is show that, especially if you're interested in retail or another type of challenge environment, it's showing that you have the skill sets to do the job. Make sense?
Yeah, I think so, except that I was with HP for 24 years, so
yeah.
They sort of have a pretty good idea how old I am.
Yeah, but you know, let me share something. You can just put HP. You can put HP. You know, you can put HP down, but you know, you don't have to put Digital, because what you can say is in Digital, because you can always tell people that HP had taken over Digital Equipment Corporation at one point.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? So you're covering that. And again, a lot of people nowadays never heard of Digital Equipment Corporation.
You know, that's true. That's a very good point.
Exactly. So, you know, what I tend to, you know, when people say to me, well, okay, well, what systems do you use? I said, well, I've been able to use a lot of the different tracking systems, but when I had worked, and even though it's not on my resume, I could put down, I remember when it was like to work with the first VAC VMS, when we didn't even have applicant tracking systems and so forth, and everything was on Excel spreadsheets. So I understand, you know, what's working today, what didn't work before, but I can also talk to you about the benefits of maybe not having a system and other approaches of how we can work it. Without getting yourself, again, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so going on to the third slide, where it says which jobs are now most in demand. Basically, you're going to find that a lot of your, it doesn't hurt to take a contract job, to go in and do a contract job to get a feel for something that you may be interested in, to try it out, because it shows that, and you can put that on your resume, because it shows that, you know, you're trying out different arenas. That's number one. And number two, contracting, people enjoy that, because at least you get 3 months. I mean, if you're collecting unemployment, and they say the unemployment's going to go away, which I hope the heck it doesn't, the bottom line is you're still getting extra income coming in. So it doesn't hurt to do that. So a lot of jobs in demand right now are skilled trades, sales, there's your answer right there, nurses, technicians, and you want to be more specific what they mean by technicians, drivers, restaurants, hotel staff, a lot of your hospitality areas are looking for folks, management executives, engineers, doctors, and non-nursing practitioners. You know, like working in the hospital or the healthcare environment. I went in there, and they have, like, a very strong IT department. They also have a marketing department. They also have sales. They have administrative departments. They have supply chain. They have all the areas that, say, the technical the technical arena has. And a lot of people don't know that. They think that it's just by going in there, you're going to work at a, say you're going to work for a healthcare environment and that everybody's walking around with white jackets or white uniforms. That's not the case. They have professional arenas that you may want to take a look at. The one thing also that's in demand is your aerospace or your defense. You may want to take a look at that arena. Another piece, too, and I don't know if you're aware of this, prior to coming to Digital Equipment Corporation, is I used to work for the federal government. And all you got to, and you can work for the state. You want to go where the money is, and usually it's the federal, because the state usually runs out of money real quick, and they never seem to have a budget. But all, it doesn't hurt for you to go in and look up where to take the federal civil service exam. You could call the federal government or send an email and do the same thing to get to take the state civil service exam, which is basically, as far as I'm concerned, it's like taking a high school SAT test. Not a college, but a high school SAT test. And one thing that's nice is you're on their roster after passing. And you, when I worked there, it was like you had to pass with 70. You have the opportunity to see all the different departments within the government, whether it's the Labor Department or the Affirmative Action Department or the Engineering Department or the Defense Department, and all these different departments. And you're on their roster for 3 years and 7 days, and what they do is they'll send you all jobs for you to take a look at and decide. Because when I worked for the government, because I didn't know what I wanted to be, I worked for the IRS for a year and a half because my focus was I wanted to work for immigration. And they told me I had to put 3 years of service because it was under the Department of Justice. So I worked for the IRS. I worked with the Labor Department. And then I went right into immigration, only to find that, based on my goals, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. But the state was much more kinder, and I had volunteered with the state just to get a feel of what the job was, you know, the jobs were going to be like. So you may want to think about taking this federal civil service. It's free, or the state civil service. You get on their job roster. You're sent all these jobs that you can apply for if you're interested in it. I mean, that's the bottom line with the state. Going on to the next slide, and this is the key slide that I enjoy speaking to you about, okay, is there's many avenues. You can also turn around and call a lot of the temp agencies to get in there and get your foot in the door to let them see how you can do. So, I mean, it doesn't hurt, but you have to stop and think that if you were going to collect unemployment and there's no money coming in, and say the unemployment doesn't come around and you don't want to take out your retirement money, or maybe you don't have any retirement money, you're still getting a paycheck, but you're also, what this is allowing you to do temporarily is find a home. And manufacturing, with all new products in any given manufacturing company, that is also a key area that you may want to look into as well. Healthcare, I want to bring that in very much so, because healthcare right now, that'll never go out of business as far as I'm concerned. So there's a lot of opportunities that all of you on the phone take your skills to any one of the arenas, hospitals, and just see, for example, what they may have in mind. You may look them up on the websites, okay, where you may be, and just try to find out in healthcare where the jobs may be. Also, there's a good site is www.jobs.net, and that particular website is going to give you jobs by geographics that you can take a look. Another idea, which is not on your on the slides, and you may want to write this down, the Chamber of Commerce has this book that, and this is a recruiter secret, has this book where it lists all the companies that are in your area, like in the state of Colorado. And it costs something like $62, but you can write that off on your taxes because this is helping you in your employment search. And what it is, it gives you the names of, say, small companies or big companies, and who are the key people in those companies and what the companies do. So say you're looking to start in on a small company, what you can do is call up and say, you know, what type of hiring would you be looking for? You know, and just bluff it a little bit, saying, I heard about your company. You folks do really good things, and I'd like to know more. And it's not that I'm looking on job sites. I'm being very fussy about the type of company or business that I really would like to work for, and I see that your company is very ideal. Can you give me any ideas of how it could be so that if you're looking for someone now or someone in the future, how I can get my resume in front of you? And they'll give you the owners of these businesses, these small businesses. Okay, how does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, are all of you on the phone? Are you all on LinkedIn? Do you know about LinkedIn?
Yes.
Real well?
No.
Just getting
okay.
used to it.
All right, now let me tell you something. LinkedIn is probably perhaps the most wonderful, wonderful professional network there is out there. The reason why I'm saying that, and what you want to do, and you may want to write this down, it's www.linkedin.com. Sign up for it. Now, what you can do is call up, say, for example, Digital Equipment Corporation. You know, you'll see a sign on the right that says Digital Equipment Corporation. You can, it says, wait a minute, it says, first of all, it says jobs. You scroll down, there's people, there's this, that, and everything else. And what you can do, and this is how wonderful it is, because there's over, oh, my God, there must be now, they have over maybe 400 million, about 400 million people that are on it. It's across the world. And what you can do is look up not only people, but you can also look up companies. And in those companies, when you look up companies, what it'll do is tell you what the it'll drop down and it'll tell you what the company's doing, but it'll also tell you the people that are working in those companies.
Okay, so could you, for example, identify a specific company you think you might want to work for, and then using LinkedIn, you could get a list of all the people at that company who ever worked for digital, and then you
yes.
can contact them?
For example, what you want to do is you'll go to www.linkedin.com. When you open that up, what you want to do is sign up as a member. You sign up as a member. Then then what it'll do is ask you for a specific identity, you know, like, you know, what's your ID code, and then you'll create your own password. And once you're in, there's going to be an inbox. And when you drop that inbox, it'll say people, jobs, companies, answers, inbox, groups. Now, if I was to call up groups, I'm doing it right now. If I was to call up groups and I hit the search button, they have approximately, when this thing goes, they have, are you ready for this? They have 637,879 groups. Now, in those groups, the type of groups they have, they may have a human resource group. They may have an operational group. They may have marketing groups, sales groups. And you're allowed to join at least 50 of those groups. You take a look, there's a job board group. And in each of those segments, inside those groups, they themselves have their own jobs. Now, the nice thing is there's also a Digital Equipment Corporation group that's in LinkedIn.
There's several of those, including ours.
Yeah. What I'm trying to say is in each of those groups, you'll find different people or different avenues because of the fact people pick and choose what groups they want to be in. There's also an HP alumni group in there. So what I'm saying is that, like, if you're interested in, we were talking before about sales or looking at marketing, you'll find those groups in there. Now, what's nice is in those groups, once you get linked into some of those groups, you're going to find names of people. So, you know, people are very open on LinkedIn. So say, for example, who was it again, I'm sorry, that was interested in talking about retail? We had that conversation about retail, transferring your skills into retail. Who was it that we had that discussion with? Did I have that discussion with on the phone?
I think Diana asked that.
Okay, Diana?
Okay, she may have had to sign off, but I can get back to
you. Okay, no problem, because it's being recorded. Is all the others on the phone?
Yep.
Okay. The thing that's nice is when you get into a specific group, all right, that you're going to see a bunch of names that belong to that group. You're also going to see the companies that they work for. So what you're able to do, which is nice, is to send a message to that person, either to invite them into your network, or they may want to invite you. You know, other than the group, you may be able to get into their network. But even sending a message like Diane says, well, how am I able to get this? You can send a message to one of the players. You can look up their profile first, just by clicking their name, and you'll see their profile and what they've done in their life. And if you feel it's someone that has some knowledge that you'd be interested in talking to, you may send a message and say, you know, hi, Diane, my name is, and I see you have quite a background, which is very interesting. Do you think that you can answer this question for me? You know, I've been in this particular industry for a little while, but yet I have the skills to be able to do retail in this. Any suggestions? And you'll find, too, in the quorums or the discussions within that group, you'll find a lot of people asking the same kind of question. Make sense to all of you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because you can play with the people you may know, where are they today, to see if they're on LinkedIn. You can want to invite them into your network. If you guys want to feel free when you join LinkedIn, if you join it, feel free to invite me into your networks, because what I'll be able to give you is over 1,000 people. I have over 1,000 people that are in my network. Behind them, there's people that they know and people that they know. So I have basically in my network with LinkedIn, like that, I can tap in over 6 million people, both domestically and internationally. And so you can all become part of my LinkedIn network and utilize that so that I can get you through, and you can start to look at the different groups and things they have to say and see how I'm affiliated with a lot of the different groups.
So how
okay?
do you let people know that you are looking for a job when you're dealing with LinkedIn? I've just barely scratched the surface of it so far.
Okay. So what you may want to do is when you join a specific group, a lot of the groups are asking right now, if you're looking, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and see how we can help you? So what you want to do is write a profile about yourself, because you're going to do a profile anyway on LinkedIn to join.
Uh-huh.
And you may say, I'm looking, I have these skills, and I feel that they could be transferable to other areas. This is what I bring to the table. Does anybody have any ideas that can help me, you know, proceed with this process? And you'll see a lot of people are going to come back and, you know, it's called, and then what it is starting a blog, and they're going to be telling you what to do, helping you out, because everybody in LinkedIn is out there to help one another. Now, there's a specific group called the Job Board, and in this particular group, you'll see that they'll have discussions, they'll have news, jobs, they have subgroups that you can belong to, and also questions like, are professional resume writing services worth the cost? That you can get into a discussion and see, like this particular question that was asked, they have 46 comments. There's another one that says, do laid-off baby boomers need to reconsider their career direction? And there were 7 comments on that, and out of those 7 comments, someone says, I've been unemployed since the beginning of 2009. I've taken transition classes, networked socially and electronically. I've interviewed for roles where I have years of documented experience and have radically reduced my pay. My situation is not unique. Is there a silent age discrimination, or do I need to get into some sort of trade? And then they have these discussions around that. So you see people, and this person that wrote that was a new product integration program manager. And then there's like 7 comments to help him out of what he can do. You see what I mean? So what I suggest you do is go into www.linkedin.com, and in the inbox, you'll see an inbox box over to your right. You'll see Sarah Alvarado. You want to drop it down where it says people. You'll see Sarah Alvarado, and I'm going to invite you all. But in other words, you can invite, say you'd like to be, you know, I'd like to have you part of my network, and I'll accept, and you'll be part of my LinkedIn. And then you can take it from there and go in and start looking all over the different boards. How's that sound to all of you?
That sounds good.
Okay. And then finally, what I want to be able to do, there's another slide that's very key, and I just don't, you know, want to help you folks that you don't have a lot more aggravation, is being able to give you the top 50 resources. So down below, you have http://www.bestjobusa.com, and those are that'll include Monster, Career Builder, and everything else in there that you'll find instead of saying, okay, what kind of new job boards are there and whatever. These are your top 50 resources. These are the resource groups, even though a lot of people say, oh, I'm not going to get on the Monster. It ain't going to make any sense. Well, ask yourself, why is the company paying $300 for a month just to post that job? There's a reason behind it. So don't take it so negatively. There's another one that also that's on that I had sent Ava, and I'm sure that you have that, is for interns over 40. Do you know that you can be considered an intern over 40, I suggest joining that group, because, again, different types of areas are accounting, information technology, electronics, banking, marketing positions, sales positions, project managers, HAVOC, college interns. I mean, you know, even if it doesn't make any difference how old you are, but if you're back in school right now taking courses and you're going for a degree, you know, once you graduate, you're considered a recent college grad. So basically, while going to school or whatever, you can be an intern, and an intern means being able to do the job as an intern because you're learning the job. You're learning about the environment and so forth. So, I mean, you can take some time to read all that information around there that I feel that that's a great resource for you to do. But I also am very adamant about feel free to join me on LinkedIn because you're going to find it to be your best friend. It's like if you have questions, you could ask those questions on LinkedIn no matter where. If you want to know enough about a company instead, and you know the company you want, instead of looking for it on Monster or anything else, on LinkedIn you can call up that company, and you could, and there's a section when you open it up, it's going to have a piece that said jobs. You can open up all the jobs, and you're going to see where it is. So that's all I have to say. Does anybody have any questions or any comments or anything that I've missed, or how did you feel about the presentation?
I thought it was all very right. Interesting. Appreciate the information.
I love
is it helpful?
Perspective. Yeah.
What did you say?
I said I love the recruiter perspective because that's the piece that we don't, you know, really, we don't get often. It's difficult to get to.
Well, there's three types of recruiters, if you don't mind me sharing this with you. And I hope to heck, Ava, when you send this out as a recording, that no recruiters listen to this. But I think they'll agree with me if they've got a lot of years of experience. There's three types of recruiters as far as I'm concerned. You have the wannabe recruiter that they enjoy, you know, taking your resume and giving you their business card, and they're the same ones that are the paper pushers. It ties into the second type. What they want to do is make the customer happy, and they'll paper push resumes to the hiring manager. Unfortunately, what they haven't done is sit with the hiring manager and really work to get that customer relationship with them to find out what the hiring manager is looking for and also maybe help them, maybe the job description is not right. Because some of the things that I've said to hiring managers is, you know, you have a great job description, but why would I want to work for you? I may be a recruiter, but why would I want to work for you? And he'd say, well, what do you mean? I said, has your team won any awards? Has your team been recognized? I mean, these are nice things to be on a winning team. You can't say you're a winning team if you don't tell me what that means. So you see, behind the scenes, recruiters are working with the hiring managers. The third recruiter, and there's quite a few out there, is someone like myself who has a passion for what they're doing. They've been doing it for years. They're recognized. They know they have a lot of resources. They have a lot of networks. And they're out there to make that marriage. Because in the beginning, it's always with the resume and the hiring manager. It's always the engagement, trying to make, or the matchmaker. And then you have the engagement when you're interviewing. And then the next thing you know, you're getting married when you get a, you know, when you get a job offer. It's like, I want to marry you. So, I mean, the bottom line is understanding the different approaches and how some recruiters may think and what are the different processes that they may use. Now, one of the things that I want to share really, really that's key, if you're looking for jobs like that may be on job boards or you may say, oh, they have one job, I want to get that job, don't be fooled by that. Because usually what happens is ghost requisitions. Behind every one job, there may be five other jobs, but they're not going to post those five jobs to show that they're that desperate. They're going to show one job, and hopefully they're going to get five candidates that can turn around and be just as qualified to do the job. So don't be disillusioned if you only see a company hiring one person. I guarantee you there's four jobs that are the same behind that one particular position. Yeah. And with that, I rest my case. Any questions? No? No more comments? Go ahead, Andrew. Andrew, do you have anything to say? Hello?
Sounds like he signed off, but I think we can conclude, but suggest that if you have any follow-on questions that, you know, Sarah provided her email and phone number in the last slide, I think, so I'm sure she'd be happy
to
answer.
I'd be very open to help people. But the one thing is,
yep,
feel free to join me on LinkedIn if you have any questions or whatever. I'll accept your invitation,
yep,
and then I can help you walk through LinkedIn and show you how it can really work.
Yeah, that
okay?
Sounds really,
Yeah, that sounds extremely helpful because I've seen LinkedIn, but I haven't really tried to figure out how to work it in order to make something happen, and that's what needs to get done for everybody.
Okay. So what you do is look me up on LinkedIn once you get in and put your profile together, and then tell me that you want me to be part of your network. I'll sign in and say yes, and then you're connected with me. And then we can work together via email or phone calls or whatever, some of the things that you may be looking for or want to know or how to go about doing things.
So I have a question. My boss said today that somebody had contacted her through LinkedIn about a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, would she have had to been part of some network that somebody saw her?
Yes.
Her profile?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, okay. So
that's how it works. A lot of the cold calling and things like that, they see a person's profile. You don't have to worry about getting an email because behind every person's profile, right on the right-hand side, it says you can send a message to this person. And it's not shown to everybody.
Okay.
Like Facebook. I don't trust Facebook to look for a job. So.
So if we join your network and we can just mm-hmm. send, and then we can just send communication and it would go just directly to you. It doesn't go to everybody in your network.
No. Like you may say, Sarah, how would I go about, you know, finding this person in this area? And I may come back and say, well, what companies would have such a, you know, a person that you'd be looking for? And you give me a list, and then I'll tell you to go do the drop-down box and go into companies and write the company's name, and then it's going to drop down with all the people. Or you can go to the people section and write down Cisco engineers, and you'll get the Cisco engineers. Oh yeah, this is LinkedIn is a recruiter's dream because what it is the fact that it has its own organizational chart without breaking into a company to figure out who's who and who's what. Because behind every one person in that company, there's about 27 others from that same company that belong to LinkedIn.
Okay. If you're looking for temporary jobs, how do you go about that?
Okay, so what I would do if I were you is I'd go into Google. And I'd call up temporary agencies within, say, temporary agencies in Colorado. And it'll drop down and it'll have your agencies. Not only Google, but you can do Bing, you can use Just Ask, or you can do Yahoo.
Okay.
And also your local newspaper, the agencies tend to, you may say agencies in Colorado, or agencies in Colorado Springs. And that'll have that listing.
Okay.
But the one thing you've got to be able to do, and I'm going to tell you this, from my experience, there's a couple things that could hinder. One, you use one agency, and your resume sent over, and you try to use another agency, your resume will be sent over. They're going to disqualify you if the company has hired two agencies or three agencies, is what they tend to do. So if you're going to use an agency, use it alone. Now, you want to make sure when you talk to an agency, that may support your resume, is the fact you tell them that you're going to be sending your resume also in for different types of jobs since this is the only job that they talk to you about. In regard to temp positions, just be open. Go in and have a conversation with them. They'll talk to you over the phone because their job is to find people who can be, that enjoy doing a temp job, but you never know. Those temp jobs lead to permanent jobs.
Okay.
Answer your question?
Yeah, I mean, I might rather just do something.
Manpower, Kelly Services, they're all over the place. They're in different corporations. You know, they go into all the, you know, the main corporations, semiconductor and what have you. But Manpower is one. Kelly Services is another. Volt.
And they do professional positions as well as administrative?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. LinkedIn you may find, too, administrative. I mean, again, what I'm saying is LinkedIn is a very powerful network, and there's a lot of things you can find in there where you won't find on the job boards. See, anybody that's been in a company, the reason why people want people that have experience, no matter what the experience is, they're coming from another company that they may have an interest because it's similar. And also they're bringing someone in that may know of somebody, like employee. Why do you think they have an employee referral program? See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Sarah, this is Diana. I'm going to have to jump off the call.
Okay.
But I appreciate your time and your insights. Thank you very much.
Are you going to become part of my network?
Absolutely.
Or I'm going to be part of your network?
Absolutely.
There you go. That's all I want, is to be able, in that respect, you know, as a recruiter, I'm still looking for a job. I still have many networks out there, and if there's any way or anyhow, I will help you do the best I can. And I want you to feel free with my email. Send me questions anytime you have questions and things, because if I don't know, I'll get you the answer. If I have the network to help you out in what you're doing, I'll make that happen. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay.
Are there any other questions left?
No, it kind of I did the conference call on networking, and by joining Sarah's LinkedIn, it kind of dovetails into that prior telephone call, conference call.
Yeah, I teach networking, too. So I do that as a training course. The piece of it is it's all tied in. Networking doesn't mean networking with just people. Networking means knowing where the jobs are, knowing where the various sites, what are you going to get most for you versus paying the buck to do so. Because I don't believe that people should have to pay for people to help them find a job. And you have some agencies out there that are doing it, and during these times, I don't think you should, I think it's totally wrong to charge a person to help them find a job, because as far as I'm concerned, word of mouth, as far as a person's credibility, goes a long way, as far as helping people and so forth.
Well, you're certainly exceptionally generous with your help and advice, Sarah, and we really appreciate that. And if there aren't any other calls, we'll wrap up. And if you want to review the recording after the fact, I'll be sending out the link again of where to find it on the Deck Connection website.
Oh, that'll be good.
And yep, and there was also another resource there. There was another article that I had found in Time Magazine very recently about where the jobs are. So you might want to take a look at that.
Yeah, I will.
I have that posted on the website also under Sarah's topic.
And who's ever left on the phone? Do you feel as if I came across in what you were looking for as far as the presentation?
This is Nicole. You know, I'm just starting, and I'm trying to kind of figure out what my next step is.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I actually haven't. I was at Digital for 15 years, and then I've been with my current employer for 10 years, and I've done a tremendous amount of volunteer work. And so, I'm trying to, like I say, trying to identify what it is that I want to do. One of the things that was particularly helpful is, trying to figure out, you know, I have skill sets that are probably applicable across a variety of industries, but also, I haven't used LinkedIn. I do have an account, and one of the things I think is really helpful from these conference calls is just the discussion and just getting you thinking, getting me more focused, and also the available resources, because since I've I haven't really had to seriously look for a job for 25 years, so.
I hear you.
Yeah,
and I'm going to commit to Ava in the next few days that I will send out that, what I call it, a skills assessment resume.
Okay,
Ava?
Great. And I'll send that out to everybody. One point, Nicole, Dylan, don't overlook your volunteer work for different areas of experience and different functions you've worked in, because I bet you've got some other areas just within types of things that you do as volunteer work which would be appropriate and viewed as an asset in as part of a resume.
My
volunteer stuff is pretty much, both of them have been, full-time stuff. So, I mean, they're pretty serious.
Yeah.
What type of volunteer work do you do?
I was on the school committee for 6 years and chair for 3 years. Currently I am a director for a weekly community supper.
There you go.
So there I coordinate I coordinate all the volunteers. I've gone in and I'm streamlining all the operations, that kind of setting up policies, that kind of stuff.
Well, see, the bottom line too, and the key to big business is you're still working with adults, And the other thing that you may bring to the table is during that you may have some networks within there that can also be able to be of help to you with their professions that they may be doing in their volunteering. Just as much as what you have, the type of background you have, there's other people volunteering that that may have a background that you're interested in and where they may be working, because behind every professional is at least 500 people that they know.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that? It's like a friend. Behind every one person you meet, they have some 50 other people that you may know, and that's from a recruiter's perspective. And that means, like, you know, networking. That's all a part of the process. But one thing, Nicole, if you'd like, why don't you send me over your resume and let me take a look at it, and not so much to critique it, but just give you suggestions perhaps of some of the avenues that you
Yeah, I haven't updated it, so I'll send it. Okay.
All right?
Yep, great.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the offer.
Okay.
And also, on when you go into LinkedIn, be sure to work through, you know, meeting people through the Debt Connection group, which has like about 250 members in it from our in our organization. So they will. Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead, Ava.
And there's another group, digital. It's called, I think it's either a generic digital equipment group or a digital alumni group that has something like 800 or 1,000 or more members in it. So,
right.
I mean, that's a really good resource as well.
There's also another thing, too, is if you're, like, for example, if you're in sales or you're in marketing, they have marketing groups, but these people that are in those groups, just like the digital group, are now at all these different companies. So there's a lot of things that you can send messages, and everybody's very supportive of one another in each of these groups. And the nice thing is you have over 50... You have up to 50 groups to be part of, to join.
Okay. So the message is to make the most of it.
Yes, because let me tell you something. When you come into LinkedIn, this is going to be on top. It says people, jobs, and you can look at the jobs. But those jobs are just from that. When you go in each of the groups, they have their own jobs that are more focused in the arena that you may be looking for. So I just thought I'd let you know. And Nicole, if you have any more questions around that, I mean, I'm sure I have a feeling that you and I will be working very closely together to get you more focused into LinkedIn, and I really would enjoy helping you with that arena and looking at your resume.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. All right.
Thanks.
Well, thanks again, Sarah, and thank you, Nicole, and I don't know if Kathy and Andrew Diana are here or not, but thank you
Kathy.
Very much for participating, and, you know, if you think we can help further at all, please just let us know.
Thanks, Kathy, do you feel as if you were able to take a lot away from this conference call?
Yeah, I think I'd like to hook up with you in LinkedIn because I really haven't figured out how to use it very well yet. I'm just starting my job search.
There you go. I'll be very happy to do it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, and thank you again, Ava.
Okay, thank you, everybody.
Yeah.
Have a nice evening.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take
bye.
Care.
Bye.
Bye.